Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, the voices of impact for First Nations people, we're talking Indigenous Business Australia, which launched their second impact report at an event in Sydney on 6th of October, joined by the Minister for Indigenous Australians, the Honourable Linda Burney, MP, and a panel of customers. IBA celebrates of hearing directly from their impacted through home ownership businesses and investments. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Siddharth Shiroka from the Strategy of Innovation team on the line. And Siddharth, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to your program. Look, we as First Nation people look at Indigenous Business Australia, IBA, as a fantastic platform for black entrepreneurs or just to have black people in their own house. That would be fair to say?
Yes, absolutely right. So IBA's aim is to work with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who want to own their own home, have a dream to start or grow their own business and invest in their future. So that's what we focus on. And home ownership, obviously, is a big, big opportunity for families to be able to get onto that platform, particularly to get that stability and safety, but also then to aspire for more. So that's it's really important. But then business ownership, we see as one of those great enabling devices that allows people to not just impact on their own lives and their own families, but also, our business owners kind of tell us in the impact report that their impact is really very much around supporting their employees and supporting the community around them. And so there's very strong indications of a cultural impact that flows from what their activities are. So this report is really quite important because it shows that it's not just about the dollars and cents. Mm-hmm. It's really about the impact that our customers have on the community, their family, and everyone around them.
Well, when you look at the so-called Australian dream, you know, having your own house, and when First Nation people are in their own house, it's a snowball effect and empowers and motivates other brothers and sisters to step up to the plate.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that's something that we found in this report as we were going through the process of hearing the voices of our customers. They certainly said that they, starting on their journey, was an inspiration for others around them to actually think about doing it themselves. And so we've seen tremendous growth in home ownership for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but also business ownership as well over the last few years. And IBA has been committed to be able to continue to contribute to that growth.
Fantastic. And Siddharth, when you see people having their own homes and what have you, can they take that, well, they're in the game, they've got their skin in the game regarding real estate, you know what I mean? Can they take that equity out and purchase another investment property?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we see our role is primarily about getting first Australians who aren't able to get a loan from mainstream banks to be able to get into their first home. And 95% of our customers are first-home buyers. So the real focus of our program is on home ownership, so getting into that first step. But I'll tell you a bit of a story of one of our customers who
Please.
Was on the panel, actually. So she came from a bit of a difficult circumstance. She was in out-of-home care early in her life. And she started her own home ownership journey by herself. She was a single parent, and she started with us. We were grateful to have her as a customer, and she turned out to be an amazing homeowner. She successfully, so after she got her loan through us, and she talked about how talking to IBA, she was able to ask all of the questions that people might think, that's a silly question, or I don't know if I should be asking this. They might think less of me. She was able to ask all of those kinds of questions of us. And then from there, she got her first loan. She bought an apartment in Sydney a decade or so ago now, and she was a single mother. And she had one child.
Yes.
And she successfully refinanced with a commercial bank. So they took on her loan, which is what we want to see. We want to, so that way we can use that money to then lend to someone else. When she successfully refinanced, she created that stable platform for herself and her son. And from there, they started thinking about the future. And she's now owning multiple properties as a single mother.
Wow, fantastic.
Which is so fantastic,
yeah, that's
right?
A successful story right there, Siddharth.
And one thing that she said to us, which was super powerful, she said even though that she felt vulnerable when she was going through this, she knows her son is not in that same place and he does not feel vulnerable.
Yeah, beautiful, fantastic. Well, success breeds success, and there it is. That's a prime example. So a message here going out to all our First Nation people, if you want to have your own home, have a talk to IBA. Do they help you strategize or set a plan of attack regarding getting in that space?
Yes, absolutely. Look, what we try and do is meet our customers or potential future customers where they're at. So we know that not everyone, when they call us, are in the position to be able to take out a loan, but at least you can talk about your journey and your plans, and we can set you on the way to be able to start thinking about it. But our deposit requirements aren't that significant, if you're able to show that you've got a stable source of income, and can show that you can put aside some money every month to be able to pay off a loan, then we can have a really serious conversation about your future and what you want to do and your plans.
Fantastic. Siddharth, thank you so very much. So Second Impact Report, out and about, yes?
Yes, that's right. It's publicly available. So if you go to the Indigenous Business Australia website or just type in into Google IBA Impact Report 2021-22, people will be able to find a copy of it.
Thank you very much for the yarn, my friend. All the best to you and your team. Stay safe and we'll yarn soon.
No worries. Thanks, Trevor. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there, and that's Siddharth Shikharkar from the Strategy and Innovation Team of IBA, Indigenous Business Australia, who have launched their second impact report at an event in Sydney on 6th of October, and joined by the Minister for Indigenous Australians, the Honourable Linda Burney, MP, and a panel of customers. IBA celebrates by hearing directly from those impacted through home ownership, businesses and investment. So there's an opportunity, your mob. Beginnings half done. Throw your skin in the game in regarding real estate, having your own house, the Australian dream. And then from that, you can purchase this other house and go in investing. A great opportunity. Have you say, Jan Armstrong, had the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Up in the sky, so far away, there is a place for everyone. Moon and the stars, they always shine out on that ocean way. And as the lazy wave rolled by, breezes blowing, memories, oh yes, yes. Somewhere there's joy, somewhere there's sorrow. Out on the sea, it's always the same to me. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild Wangai tree grows? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Way? Any place and just around by Mabio Bay? Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild Wangai tree grows? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Way? Any place and just around by Mabio Bay? Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too.
grown weary since my birth. Oh yeah, from the mixed up mind that planted the seeds of crime. Nanjin Yambagari, I'm just a walking Dungana to get out of this city called Aborigines. Ways will never be part of this system.
It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
He looks asleep by Billabong, but he's aware through and through. He is the law of God for all. Globe on the lilies, brighter than the city lights. Songs of birds make me shiver. Songs for Peter's dreamland. I wanna hear that song for all time and hear the children sing along forevermore. Sing me a song, Pumarican. Spirits hum. Sound. Water ripples are dancing. Rain.
houses, pub which calls. Stories come through bamboo.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bummer Rip Media, 19.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call and send that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, a new study shines light on diabetes epidemic among Indigenous youth. A lack of understanding about diabetes remains a major roadblock to caring for Indigenous people living with the condition. A new study based in the country's north has found Northern Territory has the highest rates of youth type 2 diabetes in the world, and the rate has doubled in the past 7 years. We're going to catch up a yarn with Renee Kirkham, Menzies Diabetes Across the Life Course, Northern Australia Partnership researcher. On the line, Renee, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me on the program.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important space we're talking about here. Look, one in every 33 Central Australian Aboriginal females aged 15 to 24 years has a condition, a rate 10 times higher than the wider youth population. So you could say we have a pandemic here, and don't want to use the word, but we need to close this gap.
Yeah, we absolutely do, Trevor. Look, some of the recent research that we've been doing across northern Australia has highlighted that, in central Australia, one in 70 young people, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people, have type 2 diabetes. So that is under the age of 25. Whoa. And we know that this is the highest rate in the world for our young people. And alarmingly, it's doubled in the last 7 years.
Look, it's not a trophy Northern Territory once or Australia once, so we need to bring those numbers down. So do you know what we're doing to bring those numbers down?
Yeah, well, I think there's a few things here that we have to consider, Trevor. So one of the first things is what's actually driving this? Like, why have we got the highest rates in the world? It's an absolute tragedy. And
of course.
And some of the reasons are related to the social determinants of health. So, you know, things that in this context have really been driven by the impacts of colonisation.
Yep.
You know, we know a lot of our young people in Central Australia who are living with diabetes are experiencing high rates of poverty as well.
Mm.
They've got having trouble accessing healthy food, so food insecurity is a big issue. And other issues, you know, around overcrowding, like all of those factors are related to the social determinants of health, right?
And it's sad to hear those numbers and the reason for it when we're looking, when we're living in the 21st century, and we are living in a first world country, and we've got these dramas going on regarding housing, food, and it just snowball effect, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, these are larger historical issues that really need to be addressed, and I'm sure I'm not telling any of your listeners anything new here with that story. But one of the other really important things for this diabetes story, you know, why is diabetes impacting our young people so much, is the intergenerational diabetes story.
Oh, yeah. So we're talking hereditary. Are we talking hereditary, Renee?
Yeah. So a part of the story is that, Trevor. So if a woman has diabetes when she's pregnant, then her child or offspring has got a higher chance of developing type 2 diabetes and for that to occur at a younger age. And so you can see that if that happens for a few cycles in a family, then that person that's being diagnosed with type 2 gets younger and younger as the generations as we go through the generations. And so that's part of what we're seeing now as well across Northern Australia.
So you're saying that once a family member's got it, and especially a female being pregnant, it could be passed on through the generations?
Yeah, it's definitely something that can impact it. It doesn't necessarily mean, if you've got diabetes when you're pregnant, it doesn't necessarily mean that your child will develop type 2 diabetes. And the other really important thing to mention is that we know type 2 diabetes is preventable. In many cases, it is preventable, and prevention is always better than a cure.
Yes.
So we need to be focusing on that.
Exactly. Yeah. And the fact that, and hats off to you and your team regarding the research as such, this information needs to be collated and also taken to the so-called health minister at the federal level and need to act on it, any money spent in this space is not an expense, it's investment for First Nation people or all Australians.
Absolutely it is. And one of the things that we're doing is we're working with young people and their families and communities as well as health professionals right across Northern Australia to try and develop up support systems that better meet the needs of young people to manage their diabetes well. And a really important thing for us to be doing is, for this to work, is to be engaging, on a local and community-based level. And we need to make sure that all of the strategies that we're developing are culturally informed and that we develop a program based on evidence, because that's what will make the difference here.
I asked the question, Rena, do you have First Nation people working with your team?
Yes,
thank you. Black on black is important.
Yes, absolutely. And importantly, we've got a number of young Aboriginal people with type 2 actually working on our team.
Yes.
And they provide the most incredible insights because they, of course, are living with type 2 themselves.
Of course, exactly.
That sort of brings us a bit to the results or findings of this paper that we've just published recently.
Okay. And so when you look at that, I mean, you're talking about interviewing or working closely with First Nation people, especially young people, you go further into looking at, their life standards, living standards regarding the house or the job or the cleanliness, and that goes a part of information to the research, yes?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think I really understood that question.
Oh, I'm saying in regard to when you're interviewing and talking to people, you go further in regarding finding out their living standards and take notes of that in regarding information for the survey, yes?
Well, yeah, because it's important to understand.
Of course it is important.
What it's like for somebody living with this condition. But, all of these other factors are really impacting their daily life and how they might manage their diabetes and how they might manage their diabetes well. Mm. One thing that we do know is that for a lot of our young people, diabetes isn't their priority. They've got heaps of other stuff going on in their life.
Exactly.
So they might even have, they might have caring responsibilities, for example. They might be looking after a child of their own, or they might be looking after a mum or an auntie or a family member who have got diabetes themselves or are on dialysis. And that's a really common story. That's a common life.
And the actual disease, diabetes, sort of tends to slide away because they focus in on their life and helping their family members, yes.
Exactly. And something that's really important to consider is, how do you feel well mentally as well when you've got this really huge load
capacity
in your life? Mm. Absolutely. And it's definitely something that a lot of the young people we've spoken to across Northern Australia have been telling us about.
Well, fantastic. Northern Australia Partnership on the research and Menzies Diabetes Across the Life Course. So very important, a very important space. And the findings speak loud volumes. And we need to tackle and close this gap, my sister.
We do indeed. Thanks for having me.
You take care, Renee. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly Yarn there. That's Renee Kirkman, and she's Northern Australia Partnership, part of the research team with Menzies Diabetes Across the Life Course. New study shines light on diabetes epidemic among Indigenous youth, and very sad the numbers are high. One in every 33 Central Australian Aboriginal females aged 15 to 24 years has the condition, a rate 10 times higher than the wider youth population. So very sad, another gap we need to close. Have your say, Yarnup Strong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Men.
The city lights are driving me so crazy. As I walk lonely streets of old Tamworth, how I wish that I was back there in the dream. In the country where there's always peace and quiet. Oh, I wish that I was back in the dream time. Hear the didgeridoo a droning in the night, where corroborees are seen. It makes me feel so lonely. For the
the gum trees and the taste of porcupine. I see my brothers, I see my sisters here in Tamworth, torn apart by government ways and city life. Oh, I wish that I was back in the dream time. Hear the didgeridoo, the drone in the night, where corroborees are seen by the firelight, where the white man's ways won't bother me no more. No, the white man's ways won't bother me no more.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
GI taxi driver going round and round, a giant traffic circle in a tiny town. Knows everybody's business, what's going on? GI taxi driver going round and round.
Ronnie's parked under the almond tree, eating kai kai from Mary's bakery, waiting for another call to come. Just enough time for a sweet cream bun.
GI taxi driver going round and round, a giant traffic circle in a tiny town. Knows everybody's business, what's going on? GI taxi driver going round and round.
Victor's doing a late pub run, Friday night and everybody's having fun. But he knows he's got to work late and get up in the morning in the taxi by 8.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yes, very good morning, your daily. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yes, we are in the 21st century, information age, but sadly, one in four Australians missing out due to digital inequality. A staggering one in four Australians are considered digital excluded, and half of Australians who also say they feel anxious about their own online safety. Feeling digitally excluded disproportionately impacts other older Australians, yet 41% of young people also find it difficult to keep up with the changing technology. Now, Good Things Foundation Australia is urging all Australians to participate in Get Online Week, 17th to 23rd October, to learn how to navigate the online world more safely and confidently. We're going to catch up with Yana with Director Linda. That's Linda Berrigan on the line. Linda, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Good morning, Trevor. I'm so great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for coming along. I was going to email you and text you, but let's talk online. This is good, having conversations, yarn. But we can do all those things. And the sad thing is one in four Australians missing out due to digital inequality. So can you enlighten us, please, what's preventing our Australians to go online? One in four, there's big numbers. It is the 21st century. We are in the information age. Enlighten us, please, Linda.
So what we find is that some people just have never kind of had the opportunity to learn how to use their mobile phone in a bigger way than they do just for calling or getting access to the internet.
Sure.
Or they might not have ever used a computer. Or if they have, they might just be able to do some really basic things on it.
Mm.
So we find that digital skills is a problem. We also find that access to technology can be a problem. So if someone doesn't own a device, then they can't learn. And also it's a lack of affordability for some people. So there's lots of different things that happen.
Mm.
And we know that people sometimes feel unsafe going online as well. So, yeah, all of those things impact people's decisions.
So why is it important to build online confidence?
So it's so important because so many people actually can use digital to improve their lives.
Yes.
We know that during COVID, for example, people who were online were able to actually get information. They were able to still get services, so maybe see a doctor who they couldn't go out to see in person or couldn't get access to. Even just connecting with family and friends, you know, being able to do a video call with someone who doesn't live in the same town as you, you know, those things actually make a massive difference to people feeling part of a community.
Well, when you look at us people who are online, we find it as a powerful tool, you know, a time saver, but also the connection to families or business partners or whatever the case may be in a personal level and professional level. But, of course, when you look at the so-called scammers and look at Optus, for example, what went down there, you can see why people are hesitant in going online.
Yeah, it's totally understandable. I think what's important is that if you can get some help with your digital skills, you can actually learn how to be safe online.
Yes.
So it might be things like, you know, how to set your passwords properly so that they're harder to access, or what sort of information you actually give out to services so that they then can protect your information for you. And if they can't protect your information, then you're actually in control of it.
Mm.
So, you know, feeling safe online is a really big thing, and we can help you to learn how to do that.
So how can local communities get involved in Get Online Week?
So Get Online Week is a great week in the year this week. Local community organisations actually provide services in a lot of communities. So in the Cairns area, I know there are a few community organisations who do this already.
Yes.
So if people go along to their local library, for example, or their local community centre and ask for some help with digital, they'll often be able to help you there or point you in the right direction. The other thing that people can do is they actually go to Get Online Week on the website, and that tells you some different places that you can go to get support. So that website is oz.getonlineweek.com.
Okay, fantastic. Where can Australians go to find out more and find the event near them?
That oz.getonlineweek.com web address is a great one to go to, or you can actually give us a call as well, because as you say, Trevor, we know that not everyone is online.
Yeah, true, exactly.
So, please give us a call on 1-300-795-897.
The number again, 1-300-795-897.
That's it.
All right, beautiful. Nice talking with you, Linda. Listen, all the best to your team, your family. Stay safe. And I'll text you later. We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much, Trevor. I look forward to that text.
Take care. Bye-bye, Linda.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. That's Linda Berrigan, Director of Good Things Foundation Australia, and just talking about one in four Australians missing out due to digital inequality. So to our mob out there, yeah, get online. They say if you're not online, then you're in line. Get online. It is a powerful tool. There is protection out there, and you can get educated. So go to your local library or check with an organisation that's nearby that can support you in this space. But look, it's a fantastic tool in regard to communication. education, business opportunities, job opportunities, having yarns with family and friends, and also talking about FaceTime or Instagram. Some beautiful photos can be sent. So there is protection there, and that's the world we live in regarding the tools that we're using for communication. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. End of the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.